Welcome to Lakeside Baptist Church. It is truly good to see all of you gathered here today for worship. I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful to be here myself. It's not fun being home with the flu and especially having to miss worship with you folks. But we're grateful that you're here and thankful for those of you who are our guests today. We invite you to fill out a guest card because we want to get to know you and to introduce you to our missions and ministries. We thank you for being here. We are grateful that our deacons help us lead in worship from time to time, and Sheila Whitley will assist us in worship this morning. I remind our children in kindergarten through grade 5 that they may leave during the second hymn to participate in children's church today. And I want to remind all of you of our top-notch Valentine banquet this evening at 6 o'clock that is hosted by our youth. It will be a fun time for all, and I encourage you, even if you have not yet signed up, to plan to attend. We have extra seats. It will be a fun evening, and I want you to be there. Our youth casserole and bake sale is an annual event that will take place on March the 3rd. It helps to raise funds for local missions as well as for our youth trip fund. And you may sign up in the Narthex following worship today to donate some of your goods and delicious dishes to that. The season of Lent begins this Wednesday. It's hard to believe we're already there. As we always do, we will offer a light supper at 5:30, and then our communion and imposition of ashes service will begin at 6:30. I'm well aware that Wednesday is also Valentine's Day, but what better way to celebrate your love than by being here in the presence of this community of faith and celebrating the love of God for us all. So I encourage you, you may come at 5:30 and take your Valentine out to a nice dinner in Robbins Hall, or either dine early or later or on another evening. But I do encourage you to be here. Ash Wednesday is an important time for us as a people of faith. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the end of the season of Epiphany when God has revealed himself to us in so many different ways. We gather today to think about one of Simon Peter's experiences and what he has to say to us about sacred spaces. As we think upon these things, let us prepare our hearts and our minds as together we worship God.
Said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
There is a feeling of life and wholeness here that we need for living.
There is a sense of Christ's presence here that renews our spirits.
There is a commitment to service here that responds to the call of God.
Let us rejoice and sing praises for all of God's goodness to us.
Gather us in, God of mercy, that we might extend to others the grace that has been given to us. Gather us in, God of peace, that we might seek wholeness and unity in times of struggle. Gather us in, God of renewal, that our places of darkness and despair might experience new life through you. Inspire and empower us, Holy God, that your church, gathered for worship and sent out to serve, might live as signs of your grace and peace and life to one another and to all the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God's word tells us that if we confess our sins, that he will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So together, let us confess our sins. Forgive us, O God, for we have sinned. We have not forgotten to pray, but our requests are often shallow and our prayers hurried. We have not failed to worship, but our time to listen and reflect has been limited. We have not lost our respect for Scripture, but we have cheated ourselves of the rich resources of faith and insight. Open our hearts to the gift of time with you. Open our eyes to the gift of your story with us. Open our lives to the grace of your love. Brothers and sisters, hear this good news. By the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Today's lesson from the Psalter is from Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6. Hear now God's word. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As people of faith, we often look upward when we make our prayers to God, believing that God is on high and watching over us, caring for us. And so today, as a praying community, we offer our prayers for Ridge Nelson, who is the grandson of Neil Nelson, a nephew of Doug Edwards, who has been a patient in Vidant, Greenville, and as I understand is returning home today. We continue to pray for Doja Collins, who is at Rocky Mount Rehabilitation Center, and Janice Taylor Bobbitt, Chuck Taylor's sister, who is undergoing chemotherapy. We continue to pray for Ed Aston, Lee Bissett, Robert Blanton, John Capiello, Bob Chappell, Ann Crane, Paul Godfrey, Brenda and John Hartness Jr., Rob Martin, Aaron McAuliffe, Grace Monroe, Harlan Mosley, Jack Newton, Marie Price, Cody Richardson, Michael Riley, and Mary Frances Taylor. This morning we offer our sympathy to Jane Snow and her family in the death of her aunt, Virginia Owen Tyree Bailey, on January the 29th. We offer our sympathy to the family and friends of Mary Litton Cowles of Oxford, North Carolina, who died on February the 2nd. She was the daughter of Bill and Elaine Litton and attended Lakeside when she was growing up in the 80s and 90s. We offer our sympathy to Betty Kirkpatrick and her family in the death of her husband, Mike, yesterday. Betty is a Presbyterian minister in town and a good friend of this congregation. And this morning we offer our congratulations to Helen Lockery, who was honored by the Rocky Mount Area Chamber of Commerce as Distinguished Citizen of the Year. We think of these individuals and of other concerns and joys deep within our own lives. Together, let us offer our prayers to God. While there are precious few hills in our city, we know that unlike the imagined gods of ancient times, you are not limited by geography, O God. Wherever we are and wherever we go, we know that you watch over us so that we do not have to look very far for you. We are grateful for your nearness, O God. We appreciate the vigil you keep over us. We are thankful that you rush to our aid even before our cries pass our lips. We know from experience that we are not immune from harm and the challenges that life brings our way. We do know that you watch over our coming and going and are always ready to take care of us. And for that reason, O God, we offer our prayers today for our friends and for ourselves. Harm has come our way in the form of illness and accidents, recklessness and randomness. And the privilege of inhabiting these wonderful, fragile bodies that are ours. Make us aware that you are with us and that we are not alone in our work to be healthy. Continue to bless us with bright and well-trained medical personnel, with researchers whose gift is to explore the pathways to health, and with friends and family who offer healing for our souls. Because we know you created our world and care about it, we pray for the earth and seek its healing. We confess that we've taken our home for granted and have exploited the resources you have so generously provided to us. Help us to rediscover our original calling, O God, which is to be good stewards of this garden of a world you have given to us. Guide us as we take care of this precious gift and hand it off to all who will follow us. We know as well that while we are special in your sight, we are not your only children on this earth. We pray for people all over the globe who are truly our brothers and sisters. We pray for health and wholeness, for food and shelter and safety, for freedom and justice and peace. Inspire us to be good citizens of your world, O God, and good neighbors to one another. We look to you, O God, because you are our true help. Gather us as a hen would gather her baby chicks and take care of us. Gather us and love us. Gather us and make us whole. Through Jesus Christ, our brother and our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
You have declared, O Lord, that we are to be salt and light in this world, called to enhance life, to dispel darkness, to be known by our work of doing justice, restoring unity, and demonstrating love. Bless these gifts we bring, that they might be used to do your work and to accomplish your purpose. May they be for us not the totality of our offering, but only the beginning of our grateful response to your abundant blessings, as we also seek to give of our time and talents, and indeed our very lives, for the building of your kingdom. We pray especially today for the work of Sammy Crumley and missionary friends that they are doing in Nicaragua this week. May every encounter, every act of compassion, every need met become an opportunity to embody your mercy, and by their example, may we be inspired to share your love with all those we meet as well. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear now our gospel lesson as told by Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could ever bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what else to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. May God bless to our understanding and to our experience this reading from Holy Scripture. I get Simon Peter. I think I know why he said what he did on that mountain after having seen Jesus with Moses and Elijah. I get why he wanted to build a few huts and hang out with these guys for a while. And I also know that Peter was notorious for saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. He was the poster child for faux pas, for foot and the mouth disease. Just a week earlier at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus had bared his soul about what was yet to become to his troop of followers as they made their way to Jerusalem. He would be challenged by the scribes and Pharisees, arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified. And before the last syllable of those unthinkable words could settle into their ears, however, Peter popped off with, "No way, Jesus! Those things could never happen to you." Jesus' reply to him was not a sympathetic smile with a pat on the shoulder as he said, "Thanks, Peter, but yes, it will happen that way." No, he sharply rebuked him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Ouch. Weeks later, after their last supper together, Jesus again confessed to the apostles his deepest hurt that one of his closest friends would betray him. And once again, Peter inserted himself into Jesus' story and insisted that he would not be the one to betray his Lord. To which Jesus responded, "Oh, but you will, Peter. And not only once, but three times." In between these events is this story of Jesus, Peter, James, and John on the mountain. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appear and converse with Jesus. And so intense was the holiness of this gathering that all three of them seemed to glow with a radiant light. And lest this holy moment pass too quickly, Peter blurts out the suggestion that they should build three dwellings on the mountain so that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah can be there together as long as they want. This time, Jesus completely ignores Peter. But a voice speaks from a cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Only then, as our first hymn suggests, does Peter keep silence. Peter was rough around the edges. Life navigating the impetuous sea had taught him to respond quickly to whatever happened. So it was no surprise that he was often the first of Jesus' followers to speak his mind. And more likely than not, Peter was simply saying what all of the other disciples were already thinking. And if we're honest, most of us are happy to have a Simon Peter in the room who will say what we will not. I'm with Peter. Sometimes you experience something that is paralyzingly beautiful or meaningful, and you just don't want to let it go. A few years ago on our sabbatical to Europe, we had only one day for exploring Budapest before flying on to England. We took a quick bus tour of the city to see all of the major sights and then disembarked on the Buda side of the city. Late in the day, we crossed the chain bridge over the Danube River and found the Schuh Memorial on the banks of the river just in front of the Parliament building. The Schuh Memorial was created by artists who made bronze shoes of all types and all sizes to remember the hundreds of Jews who were lined up on the banks of the river and shot by the Nazis so that they would fall into the river and wash downstream. It was a haunting and disturbing reminder of how cruel we can be to one another. Walking back to our hotel, we happened upon St. Stephen's Basilica, which we had wanted to see. And hoping to at least get a peek inside this great cathedral, we were delighted to discover that a double organ concert was just about to begin. For over an hour and a half, that holy space was filled with the most wonderful music. None of it could compare, however, to the final piece, which was Vidor's Toccata from Symphony No. 5, an organist's delight, a piece that we have often heard in this sanctuary. The young man at the console was located in the rear balcony above us, so we could not see him. But we only needed to listen, and what we heard was glorious. He not only played with the greatest of skill, but he played with his heart. And like Peter, I thought that it would certainly be good to set up camp and stay there all night listening to that heavenly music. 4.5 years later, I can still hear those notes reverberating in that cathedral and in my heart. I'm with Peter. There are times when we have those "it is good to be here" moments, and we don't want to lose them. I often have that feeling about this place, this sanctuary, and all of the people who come into this sacred space. It is good to be here. It is good to be here because this sanctuary is a sacred space. Now, granted, it is not magical. We cannot come in here hoping to say just the right words or do just the right thing so that God will grant us all of our wishes. Sacred spots do not work that way. But each week I walk into the chancel and sit down as Mark plays the prelude. I look around at all of you, and then I look at this spot right here between the pulpit and the altar. I've told you about it many times. When we replaced the flooring with slate a few years ago, I was pleased to see that the contours and shading of the tiles offered interesting images throughout the sanctuary. And right here beside the pulpit is a tile which to me looks like a fire. I'm reminded of the story of Moses in the wilderness, seeing a bush burning but not being consumed. And upon examining that bush, he hears the voice of God, which tells him to remove his sandals, for he is standing on holy ground. And each time I prepare for worship, I look at that tile and pray, God, help us to remember that we are on holy ground. This is a sacred place. This sanctuary is not sacred because of curious tiles, however, but because of the presence of God and the thousands of souls who have breathed their own prayers into this space. This sanctuary was dedicated to the glory of God, but we make it sacred because of what we do here. The saints of God gather week by week, and sometimes during the week, to worship and celebrate, to grieve and to hope, to pray and to look for strength to keep going. We are the saints of God, not because we're perfect, because we're not. We are the saints of God because we are never perfect. But yet, like Simon Peter, we stumble into faith by fits and starts, getting it right sometimes, getting it wrong a lot of times, but recognizing that when God is in our midst and wanting to hold on to those times, together we make this a holy spot, sacred ground. It is good for us to be here, because this is one place where we look and listen for God together. The late Marcus Borg once pointed out that the season of Epiphany, the Sundays in which we celebrate the various ways that God reveals himself to us and leads us into the season of Lent, ends with this story of the Transfiguration. And in that story, we hear the voice of God saying, "This is my Son, my beloved. Listen to him." Borg noted that the Jewish faith has a term for this experience of hearing the voice of God. It is called bat kol, which translated means daughter of a sound. We know what sound is, but what in the world is the daughter of a sound? It is that voice of God that sounds like thunder to the average ear, but which you might describe as a still, small voice of God. It might resemble the song of a bird, the laughter of a child, the cry of a broken heart, or the music of an organ. Rarely is this daughter of a sound audible to the ear, but you hear it in your soul. Some of you have told me about instances when you've heard the voice of God, not with your ears, but with your heart. It was a voice of assurance, a voice of comfort, a voice of prodding, a voice of wooing you to come back home. It is good for us to be in this place week by week so that together we can listen for God and look for God and discover where it is that God wants to take us next. Marcus Borg also tells a story which I think should bear repeating many times over. It's a story about a 3-year-old girl who was the only child in her family. Her mom became pregnant, and this 3-year-old girl was excited about having a baby in the house. And then the day comes when the mother delivers the child and mom and dad go off to the hospital. A couple of days later, they come home with a new baby brother and the little girl is absolutely delighted. But after they've been home for a couple of hours, the little girl tells her parents that she wants to be with the baby in the baby's room alone with the door shut. She's absolutely insistent about the door being shut, and it kind of gives her folks the willies. They know she's a good little girl, but they've heard about sibling rivalry and all of those things. And then they remember that they had just installed an intercom system in preparation for the birth of this new baby. And they realize that they can let the little girl go into the baby's room, and then if anything weird starts happening, they can hear it and rush in and save the child. So they let the little girl go into the room. They close the door behind her, and they race to the listening post. They hear her footsteps move across the room. They imagine her standing over her now 2-day-year-old brother's crib, and they hear her say to him, "Tell me about God. I've almost forgotten." It is good to be here. Because each and every one of us is like that little girl. We know about God. We've heard a lot about God. We have experienced God. We've even heard God whisper to us a time or two. But over time, we also begin to forget. Like the distinct memories of a loved one, which become a little blurry around the edges as the years roll by, we sometimes forget what we once knew so clearly about God. And that is why it is good to be here, to be together here, to help one another remember and listen and discover that we are still standing on holy ground, not only in this sanctuary, but wherever our steps take us on this whirling ball of life that God has created for us. Simon Peter had seen Jesus glorified in the presence of the two great prophets of Israel. He did not want to lose that experience. And who wouldn't want to build a few shelters and savor the moment for a while? We gather in this place to rediscover God week by week. We come here to remember and to experience anew the presence of God. Peter was right. It was good for them to be in that sacred space on the mountain. And then he heard the voice of God, which simply reminded him and his friends to listen to Jesus. To listen to Jesus, who was telling them that it was time to break camp, to go down the mountain, to get back to work. And it's a good thing that Peter listened, because he was able to experience a lot more sacred moments with Jesus as he followed him on to Jerusalem. Had they stayed on the mountain, all he would have had was one memory of an amazing moment. But because he left the mountain with Jesus and his friends, he experienced many, many more holy moments. It is good to be here in this sacred space. We need to be here, and we need other people to be here with us. Perhaps we should remind them of that. But let us remember that we too are urged to listen to Jesus, who calls us to go about our daily routines, living the gospel as best we know how. Listen for the voice of God, that daughter of a sound, that still small voice that we can hear only when we are silent. Let us go and test out the gospel, and then return to tell one another about God, lest we forget. It is good to be here. Amen. Let us pray. It is good to be here, O God. And we are grateful to be here. Remind us that we do indeed stand on holy ground, but that all of your ground is holy because you have created it and given it to us as a gift. Remind us that our lives are holy so that we might take care of them and live them well through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Together now, let us affirm our faith. We confess that our faith is in God, who creates and sustains life, who intends that life is to possess meaning and purpose, and who calls us to a new way of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We profess that faith is something we do resulting from what we believe, that it must be forged in Scripture, nurtured by the Holy Spirit, enlightened through reason, guided by the tradition of the Church Universal, and practiced within the local community of faith. Amen. It is good to be here. It is good to be among the people of God. And here it is that we are reminded who God is and who we are and why we need God and what God offers to us. All God asks of us is that we simply receive that gift and live it out. That we claim Him as the Lord and Savior of life, that we unite with one another to create His body on earth, which we know as the church, and we go live out our faith in the world so that others may realize that they too are walking on holy ground and recognizing the one who makes it so. It is good to be here. Go and listen. Remember again who God is for us all. go into this week empowered by the Spirit of the risen Christ. May your feet, which have stepped on holy ground, guide you into places in need of hope. May your hands, which have been folded in prayer, become the answer to the prayers you have made. May your heart, illumined with the love of Christ, become open to everyone whom you meet.